Been about 4 weeks since I've been up here preaching when I tested positive for COVID and a cough, and it was out 2 Sunday nights, and Chris Delgado filled in for me on Sunday night, and then he was regularly scheduled for the 5th Sunday night in January, and then we had our singing on the, especially filled in for me the 2 weeks that I was out, Dennis. Chris, so I appreciate that very, very much. So we're back to this section in Colossians. I'll read it first, just a short thing. He's talking about the relationships in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 18. Going to address wives, husbands, children, fathers, bondservants, and masters. And there's other, there's about 11 areas of submission I put in your notes. So these are not the only ones, but this is in the text. So wives are addressed first, verse 18, Colossians chapter 3. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Now, when I read these relationships, note the concluding phrase. This first one, as is fitting in the Lord. Then husbands, love your wives. Do not be bitter again. Be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done. There's no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So, I mentioned by way of introduction concerning submission, you'll never reach an age where you don't submit. It's just not going to happen. For example, we will always submit to the laws of the universe, of gravity. Submit to laws of government, to obey the laws of the land. We submit to laws in business. Stores have hours, and I can't go in and say, I think you should open up early for me or stay open late. I have to submit to hours. I have to submit to other people's rights. Submit to my employer. I'm going to submit to death. It's appointed that the man wants to die. And then I'll submit to judgment. There will always be, you know, as long as we are alive, submission in every written those relationships. I also put in your notes that submission is a virtue in all of these relationships that are addressed here in the text. And then in all of these, I'll go back in Colossians 3:18, wives, as it is fitting to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul addresses husbands to love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, he addresses children. Obey your parents in the Lord. Fathers, in Ephesians 6, verse 4, bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, fearing God, in Colossians 3, 22. In verse 24, for you serve the Lord Christ. Colossians 4, 1, masters, knowing that you have a master in heaven. So God's not picking on any one relationship. You know, it's putting one above another. It's a virtue designed by God to submit in one way or another in all these relationships. Last time we met, we just got started with the introduction, and so we all submit to one another, and the church submits to Christ. So point number 3, Colossians 3, verse 18 in your notes. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Ephesians, Colossians, Ephesians are somewhat alike, and Paul gives a similar list in Ephesians. So I'm going to go back and forth with Colossians and Ephesians in looking at this list. Paul writes it this way in Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. The husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." So when that aired, this relationship of submission, it doesn't mean that the wife is less capable in living or fulfilling obligations, or less necessarily important than the husband, but that the wife is in this relationship by divine decree. The motivation to honor this relationship is that it's fitting in the Lord. And certainly the wife the wife's husband would grant the wife input, or wife give wise counsel, give advice, give warnings, give information, give urgings, give instructions. And then at the same time, the husband has accountability and responsibility of leadership in the relationship. But in that relationship, there's a submission. Clarence mentioned to me several weeks ago, or maybe it might have been a month and a half ago, because he knew I was going to be doing this lesson. He said, isn't it interesting, Brian, that you don't find a directive for wives to love their husbands like you have for husbands to love your wives? Same thing with children. There's not an admonition for children, love your parents. The Bible gives three directives for children. In the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, it addresses children. Or remember thy creator in the days of your youth. Directed to children. God says, I want you to remember me in your youth. The second obligation for children is in Ephesians chapter 6. For children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then in verse 4, honor your father and mother. So children have three direct obligations biblically to remember your creator and obey and honor parents. If your children ever say to you as a parent, you don't love me, or I don't love you, you can say to them, you don't have to. But you have to obey and honor. So here we don't find a directive for wives to love husbands. But in Titus chapter 2, beginning of in the first 10 verses, Titus also gives a listing of all these relations, or many of these relationships. Titus chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, Paul says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." All right, sound doctrine. "That the older men," so here's the older men are addressed first, and then in verse 3, "that the older women likewise," so the older men, older women. In verse 4, "the older women likewise, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands." The only place that I can find in the New Testament where the charge is given that older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands. And then it gives a reason, "that the word of God be not blasphemed." So it's a virtue, and it's fitting in the Lord. In that relationship. In verse 6, "likewise exhort young men," still in Titus chapter 2. In verse 9, "exhort bondservants to be obedient to their masters, that," here's the reason, "that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." So in these relationships, everything kind of looks up. It's all by God's decree or God's directive in these. So wives, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Number 4, are addressed husbands in Colossians 3, verse 19. "Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter against them." Paul writes similar phrases in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Paul addresses husbands, wives, and then he gives the illustration or the demonstration. "Husbands, love your wives, first of all, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That," another reason, "he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that, here's the third reason, she should be holy and without blemish. Then the second reason why husband, or the example for husbands love your wives, number one, as Christ loved the church. And then, so husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. So there's the second illustration. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. All right, so here are five, or the two things that Paul mentions. They're to love their wives, first of all, as Christ loved the church. So that begs the question, how does Christ love the church? I've listed five things for you. Christ, first of all, not necessarily order of priority, but first, Christ loved the church sacrificially. It's in the text in Ephesians chapter 5. Gave himself for her. Husbands, if you're going to love your wives as Christ loved the church, you're going to sacrifice. Might be time, talent, treasure, personal preferences. But you're going to love the church or love your wife as Christ loved the church. He loved it sacrificially. Gave himself for it. Next, he loved the church realistically. In Romans 6, verse 8, God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us as sinners. No one's perfect in this relationship of husband and wife. We need to love each other realistically. There might be some mistakes made, but we still stay in love. Christ loved the church voluntarily. Voluntarily. In Matthew chapter 20 is one place, beginning of verse 17, says, now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. And here's the list. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day, he'll rise again. Jesus loved the church voluntarily. Disciples were going to Jerusalem. And this is what's going to happen. So husbands, love your wife voluntarily. In your marriage vows, at least ours, it began, I, Brian, take you, Christy, to be my lawful wedded wife. It's choice. And then she would repeat the same, I, Christine, take you, Brian, be my lawful wedded husband. We love each other voluntarily. There wasn't a gun at our, at least my back. my choice. Christ loved the church, number four, purposefully. In Ephesians 5, verse 26, that, here's those that's again, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. In verse 27, that he might present her to himself. Husbands, love your wife with a purpose. I don't know what your purpose would be, but in general, a purpose would be, I want to love you in such a way that we both go to heaven. I want to love you with a purpose. Treat you in all these other ways that Jesus loved the church, but with a purpose, and love you in a way that takes us both to heaven. Last one, Jesus loved the church absolutely. Meaning he didn't withhold anything needful from her, or from the church. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He's blessed us with everything we need to get us from here to heaven. Didn't withhold anything. We lack nothing. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And you could probably add to that list. And think about it. And then the second illustration is, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. In verse 29, a little explanation, no one ever hated his own flesh. Even when I hate what I've said or what I've done, I don't hate me. Still, in some ways, think I'm a pretty good guy. I'm okay, but I don't like what I just said or what I just did. Don't like that at all. So I want to husbands, love your wives without hatred. When those mistakes are made, you don't hate. You don't hate. You don't be bitter when things are troublesome in marriage. And then the next illustration, no one ever hated his own flesh, so husbands ought to love their own wives, they nourish and cherish it, just as the Lord does the church. All right, so how do I think how I love my own body? How do I nourish and cherish my body? I try to see that my body gets what it needs. Chips and ice cream. You know, insufficient amounts. I know when I've had enough because Christine tells me, you've had enough. You don't need seconds. My husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church, as you love your own body. You don't hate your body, but how do you treat your body? You nourish and cherish it. So husbands, we need to invest in our wives by providing what she says she needs. Nourish. Provide those things that will cause the relationship to grow in the right way. Nourish and cherish. If you cherish something, you hold it dear. I want to nourish and cherish in that relationship. Remember, all these are virtues, and it's by God's decree. The last one I'll just give. Number 5, Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, we have, the added instructions. Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. There's 5 things in the text that Paul mentions on the rationale why children should obey and honor their parents. Typically, I think anytime you ask something of someone else, give them a rational reason. This is why. You know, the thing now when you have children want to eat their vegetables, not just because I said so. This is going to make your body strong. You give a rationale for why you're asking them to do certain things. Same way, children, obey and honor your parents. First of all, this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Make God happy. Next, this is right. In other words, children, I want you to obey and honor without the expectation of something being really placed in your hand as a reward. I want you to do it because it's right. There's some intrinsic value in that. Just do that which is right, even when you're by yourself. You know, and without any reward or acclamation or attaboy, attagirl, just do it because it's right, the right thing to do. That's the rationale. Then it's a commandment. A commandment with promise. So obey because of your obligation to God. Commandment. Here's the promise, that it may be well with you. I know it was always better for me when I obeyed my parents. Always better. Yeah, things went well when I obeyed. So there's the rationale for children. This is why. And then the next thing, and that you may live long on the earth. Now, parents will always make requests of the child, typically and in general, to protect them from the vices of the world that will harm them or shorten their life. This is why I'm saying, look before you cross the street. Hold my hand, depending on the age, you know, things like, obey the laws. Don't do drugs or drug abuse. Don't follow the multitude to do evil. Don't do drunkenness. Because these are the things that are going to shorten your life. So children, obey and honor your parents for these five biblical reasons that are listed here. And they're virtues, heavenly virtues to add to your life. So let's stop there and then we'll continue talking. So next time, Lord willing. There's just two more lessons. Well, this one, finish this one. Two more sermons I have planned for chapter 4 of Colossians. And the first one is the opening verses where it says watch and pray, and the four things that it mentions. And then there's 10 people that I want to introduce you to in the rest of Colossians. And many of those 10 people, you don't know their names. Some are not only mentioned in that, not mentioned any place else in the New Testament, but yet Paul calls attention to them. So there's the lesson is going to be, you know, there's a glory in the ordinary. The ordinary are extraordinary in that sense. So always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, invitation, exhortation. It's designed to give you time to reflect or rethink on your relationship with God. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, we provide this time while we're here. And while others are here to rejoice with you in your decision, if that's the decision you make, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. And so you understand the plan that you have to hear the good news, and you have. Everyone here has. You want to believe it. Believe it. Take it to heart. And then turn your life around. Repent, as Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Repent. Follow me. Discipleship. Make me Lord. Master of your life, and then confess your faith before others that you what your belief is that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and then be baptized for remission of sins, and then from that point on begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's always the invitation we extend at the close of a message. If you have a prayer request, we can honor that. It's something we haven't noted or said or emphasized. So this is the opportunity to do that. So let's stand again. Song at the fours. Again, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, simply come to the front while we're singing this song and let your request be known.